Suns fans, you know what time it is in the PHX.
Empire of the Suns.
Phoenix Suns.
The Empire of the Suns podcast is brought to you by Sonic. Sonic.
Empire of the Suns.
Hello there and welcome to the Empire of the Suns podcast. My name is Kellen Olson, joined as always by Kevin Zimmer. Man, what's up?
Hello, how's it going?
It's going. How about you, man?
It's, we're in, what, four games? Two were very troubling. Last two for the Suns were, I would say, something there.
They won.
Important in the standings. We can go over that in a little bit, but I mean, just this four-game stretch or so, what's your feeling? What do you want to talk about?
Devin Booker got hurt. We should talk about that.
Yeah, we should talk about that.
He turned his right ankle at the end of Saturday's loss to Houston. That was the second loss of the year for the Suns to the Rockets. He has had these reported timelines that are like somewhere between a week or two, basically, of him being away, and we don't really know where. It's coming. They play Boston on Saturday, Cleveland on Monday, Boston again on Thursday, and Charlotte again on Friday. I would pencil in Thursday or Friday. That would be my guess based on how this whole thing has gone with no additional information. Obviously, without him, he's their most valuable player. They just started this stretch of the schedule that's a gauntlet, and they lost to Oklahoma City. They beat Denver in overtime, which was the biggest upset of their entire season so far, because they were +9 in Vegas, and that was the biggest underdog they had been all year. And then they handily beat Toronto, but they were ahead the whole time, and they never let Toronto get within a possession once or twice, and other than that it was like 7-9 to 11 point advantage. So it was fundamental in a way, also a team that is awful right now, and they should blow out by 30, but it is what it is. But right now it's about surviving without Booker in the standings. They are at the sixth spot currently. It's more about the loss column, though. They are tied with Sacramento at the 6-7 line, and then at 28 is Dallas, 29 is Golden State, 30 is the Lakers. Golden State, a recent ankle sprain. I don't know what exactly the injury diagnosis is for Steph Curry, but the reporting that came out today suggested that it'll be a couple of games, but nothing super significant. But then again, they haven't won this year without Curry. And if they just drop three or four in a row here, all of a sudden they're in a really, really tough position. It's kind of similar to where the Lakers are at, where four behind in the loss column with this few games left is already a really tough battle for them to get out of play-in territory. So the Suns are in a decent spot right now, all things considered, but we're now shifting the conversation from will they avoid the play-in to can they win a championship. That is how the season dynamics have changed expectations, reality. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into that later because there's still so much to play out, I think. To me, this stretch, obviously you don't want Devin Booker to get hurt. You want to build with the big three and the quirkiness, I guess, of Bradley Beal trying to find his place there. But if there is a silver lining, it's that Bradley Beal gets more comfortable on the ball more, running things, and honestly just like feeling like he has to be more aggressive. And you look, I don't remember even who's done it, but someone put out the driving numbers, and those
David.
Are
yeah,
David put
did.
Those out. Those are way up. That's a way that guy can gain confidence. But also you look through the assist numbers, and I went through the Oklahoma City Thunder game. I did watch all 21-22 turnovers. He had 7, led the team, but honestly, like, the KD and Nurk ones were worse than his, where his were, you know, maybe it's legs at one point, maybe it's, you know, not playing with Nurk a whole lot and pick and roll. There were a couple there, and then there was just like at the very end of the game that Eric Gordon just whiffed on catching a pass. So like his weren't as bad as some of the other guys's, but I'm saying that to say like he has some things to work out, right? He can get more action with Nurk. Maybe you run him more with KD in pick and rolls. So I think this time, even with Booker out already in three games, has been super valuable. And I looked up just passes per game numbers. The Suns were, I believe, 18th at like 278, 79 for the season. That's the average. But the last three games, they've been at like 329. So
300
it's like,
is the magic number Monty always wanted them to hit.
Okay. Yeah. So like that's a 50 per game. So maybe they're playing faster, but even playing pace faster is not going to make up for 50. That just means they're whipping it around. And you see that. And I think that's kind of showed in Grayson Allen had two really good shooting performances where he just went bonkers, eight makes in a row, that kind of thing. To me, he got those because of the ball movement, because the offense has looked really good. Now, yes, the Denver game, the fourth quarter, we could like argue, and we should say, like, you can't play that poorly and score 12 points.
Score 5 points over 9.5 minutes.
Like, is that missed shots? Maybe. Can the offense run better? Probably.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter what it is.
Doesn't matter what it is at this point. I don't care.
Yeah. So, but other than that, obviously, that's, again, one of those things we have to put an asterisk around, but also that impacted that game, put it into overtime. I think the offense has found something, especially Bradley Beal just working, and he hasn't even been a scorer, but I just think the offense has looked a lot better, especially the last two, three games.
It has. At some point, like 2 weeks ago, Vogel mentioned a change in like how Bradley was starting to be more the point guard, and I didn't really see it on the floor. But now with Booker out, it's been a lot more obvious. And Durant even said it last night that Brad's been a quote unquote traditional point guard now for these last couple of games. And Vogel's response today was interesting because I asked him, how much can this be like a confidence boost for Brad when Book comes back so that when Brad is on the ball, he can play this way still? And Vogel said it was more of a change that they made a couple weeks ago where once the big three was all back together, they wanted Book off the ball more and they wanted Brad on it more. That is a delicate balance in my opinion because I think Devin Booker is really, really good at playing point guard and they shouldn't be looking to move him off the ball a ton. They should look to do it a little more to get Brad on it. But I think if Brad can, like, if they can 50-50 split it, or more like 65-35 with Book being the 65, I think that's more of a recipe for success. Because I think Beal can still generate his rim pressure off the ball when he's attacking closeouts and stuff. He just needs to do it. And he's been doing it a lot more lately now that he's healthy during this stretch. But Booker is still the best point guard of the two by a pretty discernible margin. So I think there's going to be an interesting balance there where when Book comes back, and I think that particularly maybe Book is back on Monday, but these two games against Boston, Cleveland, even with Cleveland being a little injured right now, are going to be great reps for Beal to see like, okay, this is a could be a defense you face in the finals. Let's see how the point guard stuff works. It worked pretty well against Denver, who was half asleep, and against Toronto, who's awful. But now you get to see where it is. And that's not to take any credit away from how he played. He played really well. Like, he had 20 points, 8 assists, and 2 turnovers against Toronto. And if I told any Suns fan, I was like, guess what? You have a point guard now. And that's his line, and he was efficient. And they'd be like, ooh, who's the point guard? I'd be like, it's Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
They would take that. So if he's going to provide that, along with the rim pressure that David pointed out in his tweet, then they're going to do well. He said it doesn't really change his mindset too much. There's obviously certain things he did. He had a funny answer where I asked him, because Frank credited Beal for keeping them organized last night against Toronto. And I was like, what does that mean? I asked Brad, and then he just kind of went through his thought process when he's running plays and stuff. He wants to like reward the big fella, get the big fella involved consistently, find Lex or Grayson. But then he admitted, like, my first thought is like Kevin, always, which, yep. It should be. That's good point guard instinct to have right there. But I think that two guys that benefit from, again, I think the Monty tenure taught at least me a lot about what we define pace as, because I talk about it all the time in like half court settings and not in the 7 seconds or less way. And I think that it's no coincidence with how Nurkic and Allen have been playing with this pace increase in the half court at least. And I think it was Steve Jones, and I quote tweeted it as well when Steven posted the first play that they ran, And if you watch like a supercut of their first plays they've ran all the year, you'd think they have this like incredibly sophisticated and awesome offense with multiple threats everywhere at all times. And it just, those things show the potential of what their offense could be, but they're just not able to run that stuff consistently enough. Not to that level, or not even a couple levels below. They're not able to run that stuff consistently enough with how they operate. But with Beal being this aggressive and Booker coming back and being this aggressive, you would hope that it continues to go this way, because Allen and Nurkic were both fantastic in the last two games. Even with Nurk's seven turnovers the other night against Toronto, he was still really good in that game. And then, of course, against Denver, he was magnificent.
Yeah, that's two good, really good performances against the Nuggets for him. Just overall, I think he had the 31-point game earlier this season. But yeah, I mean, he is a Jokic stopper. So when you look at just that matchup, if ever comes in the playoffs, you feel pretty good about it, I think. But I wanted to get back to just Beal running point. To me, is Booker's better at it, but just the problems that, and the things that make life harder when Book and KD have the ball. Like, KD has had bad stretches where he's kind of running point lately. And I don't know if it's so much his fault as like teams really want to take him and Book out, where they're just getting blatant doubles. And to me, Beal running point allows you to play a more traditional offense where you go through your sets, you don't see the junk defenses. And I think that has a lot to do with pace, and you see good things happening out of it. Now, again, that's going to be dependent on opponent, how they're playing you. But I do think that there's a lot of value in increasing that. However you want to dole out Book versus him at the lead guard spots, where there's just a different feel to it and you are seeing opportunities just to run your offense and get Grayson and Nurk involved. So again, that'll be super interesting. I think there's also the value in, again, not burning out Book if he's gonna play good defense, if he's gonna run point. Like, Beal has a lot of opportunity to help him out still, and I think that can grow. And then maybe, honestly, I would like to see the Book in those situations just down the stretch and crunch time in the playoffs. Like, that's where I think Book's going to be huge. But yeah, I mean, Beal's just, again, his driving ability does bring something different too, where you're going to collapse hard, or if you don't, you're in trouble. So, it's just playing a different player. He's a different player than Book, and that's okay, and that might actually be good to diversify things.
Yeah, and these are the minutes, start of the second quarter, start of the fourth quarter, where Brad is playing that role anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So these reps are really important, and I'm curious to see over these next three games how Durant looks, because I think that the minute totals are high, but he is getting the beep kicked out of him every game.
Yeah,
the scouting report now on him is to bash his skull in, and referees are going to be lenient with it. Why are they lenient right now? I don't know. It's a lot of physicality for the regular season, but
I was gonna say a couple
of, Oklahoma City was mauling him. Dort,
a couple of Beal's
over
turnovers in the OKC game was literally like Dort grabbing onto Katie and yanking. Yeah,
and it's brutal. So the wear down for him, or if it's any talk of wear down, it's just, even if he was playing 29 minutes a game, teams are just, he mentioned last night, he was able to get to line more against Toronto because they were trying to play super aggressive as well, but they just didn't know how to do it because they're young.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep an eye on, because Tatum or Brown, whoever it is, probably Brown, I would guess, is going to be beating him up in these two games. And can he remain efficient through that? Because that's how it's going to be in the playoffs, and that's how it's going to be. I mean, ever since that Clipper series, it was like, yep, 6'4 fire hydrant guys are going to guard you and beat the crap out of you. Like, mm-hmm. That's just how it's going to go now. And he's remained really efficient through it still, but he just had a slight blip here over the last couple of games where the numbers were down a little bit, got right back on track to the player that he normally is against Toronto. So we'll see. Quick game before we go. You ready?
Uh-oh. I don't know on a Friday, but yeah, go.
Suns have 37 wins. I'm going to break the schedule into four chunks. You ready?
Okay.
Boston, at Cleveland, at Boston, at Charlotte, at Milwaukee. How many wins? I will note if it's a back-to-back. None of those are back-to-backs.
How many games is that?
Five.
I'll go three.
I'll go two.
Okay.
Let me write this down. Hold on.
I see we're going to add them up.
We're going to add them up, baby. Okay. Okay, you say three, I say two.
Yeah.
Home against Philly. The next night, home against Atlanta. Philly going through a lot of injuries right now besides Embiid. Now, that's a week away, 2 weeks away, in fact, so they'll probably be more whole by then, but still no Embiid, I would assume. And then at San Antonio, back-to-back games, but not nights. So it's Saturday, Monday. That's four games. How many wins?
I'm going to go two on that one.
I'm going to go two on that one, too. But that's a stretch where, like, you need to get three, I think. You really need to get three, but I'm going to pick two. Okay. The first half of the last 10 games of the season. So another two five-game chunks to end it. At Denver, at OKC, at New Orleans, home against Cleveland,
yeah,
home against Minnesota. Days off in between. How many wins?
You go first.
Denver's going to want to get one back. That's not happening.
I feel like two again.
I'll be the optimistic one and go three.
Okay.
After you were optimistic earlier.
I was on the fence on that one.
Okay.
But so, Minnesota beatable, yeah.
So we're both at seven wins going into the last five. This is home against New Orleans,
yeah,
home against the Clippers, and then the second game of a back-to-back in LA against the Clippers. But that's like they're on the same back-to-back, so it's a net loss kind of thing.
Yeah.
At Sacramento, at Minnesota to end it. How many wins?
That's five games. I'd go three on that one.
I'll go three on that one. So we both have 10 wins. That's 47.
Out of 20 games, so we said 500 basically?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that would be 47 wins. That would put them at 35 losses. We have them going 10 and 7, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have. Is that enough to be top six? I don't know. 47 feels like a lot to be a playing team.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
look,
Sacramento has got the same record. New Orleans got the same record. But
Lakers, Warriors, I don't see popping up.
Again, that is, it's very well going to come down to, I think, unless
the Mavs series earlier that there are no games left, right? So that's going to be what could bite them.
I think the main thing is if they can get to these next nine games to get to the last 10, basically, that I mentioned. If you can win at least four of those games and potentially five or more, but at least four, I think you're in a position where, unless another team gets hot, it's basically going to be you, New Orleans, Sacramento, and they play New Orleans twice over that stretch, and then they play Sacramento once.
Yeah.
So just beat New Orleans both times, just beat Sacramento both times, get absolutely destroyed by the Clippers, who cares? But just go 3-0 against those teams and then you're in, I think.
Yeah, and that's tough because, I mean, Kings are kind of hovering. Pelicans have been really good lately, so that's the toughest ask, I think. And, like, I'm going to say, just for pride and all that, they would pull one Clippers win. So, like, if you redistribute it, maybe, but, yeah, just for the head-on-head in the standings to beat tiebreakers. Yes.
We'll see if these last 6 weeks are a Anthony Edwards establishing himself as a top 10 player in the league moment. And last night certainly was a strong indication that it was going to happen. He jumped to like Jupiter, man. That was
insane. Hit his head on the rim. And
did
blocked,
you see the side angle where it's like showing from like court side?
Yeah.
And like how he hits the backboard, like the backboard knocks him back basically. He's a freak. I mention that because Minnesota is 44-19, Oklahoma City is 43-19, and then Denver is 43-20. I was a proponent where I said if my Western Conference Finals pick right now, and I would have stood by this if they were healthy, I was going to go Minnesota-Denver. That was going to be my pick going into the postseason. But Cat got hurt, and that changes everything. So I think Minnesota is vulnerable right now, even more vulnerable than you thought they were before. They're very vulnerable now. So if they can slip to three or four and Denver or the Clippers can move up as a result, if you're in that five or six slot now, all of a sudden you could potentially draw Minnesota as well. The Clippers have started to fade a smidge. They're 40-21. Look, if they play 500 ball and the Pelicans go nuts the rest of the year, the Pelicans could catch them. The Kings could catch them. I don't think that's going to happen for Sacramento. Maybe it does happen for New Orleans. You know who's shooting like 50% from three since January?
Who?
Herb Jones.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Trey Murphy's coming off the bench still. Like
Point Zion stuff. He's averaging like 7 assists per game in the last like 10 or 15 or whatever.
See, the Pelicans are doing what we assume the Suns would be doing at this point in the year, I think.
Rounding into form.
Yes. So there's time for the Suns. They've not shown enough for us to like start talking about that. But yeah, they're the team that's doing that right now.
Willie's a really good coach, man. He's a really good coach. But yeah, I think those are the main storylines to keep an eye on here over the next week or two is, can you solidify being in a position where you can control 5, 6, 7? Like you will control that. And that, again, that's getting like 4 or 5 wins in the next 9. And then just beating those teams pretty much. And then not losing every other game, basically. And then as a result, is Minnesota slipping? Is maybe OKC slipping? If you want OKC, I would want no part of OKC personally.
No.
We'll talk about this stuff more in like a week or two when it starts to become clear playoff matchups and stuff. Like, who do you want to play? Who do you want to avoid? Denver and OKC are above the other two teams by a pretty big stretch to me.
Yes.
Yeah. No, thank you. Gordon Hayward's starting to figure it out a little bit too for them. No. No, thank you. Tough stretch coming up ahead. We promise we won't read too much into it, but we'll see if there are any bits of encouragement to come out of it. I think that's just a reality. Even if Book comes back, it's like first game back. He's going to be back earlier than he should be because that's how he is. It's how he's always been. Ish is back.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back.
Good guy.
Yeah. It's good to see him. He was working out 5 to 6 times a week just waiting for a team to call, and he figured a contender was going to call him. Contender did call him. It was
literally the contender represented by Devin Booker.
Yeah, apparently Book broke the news to him, which is kind of wild.
That's
but
funny.
He can break news from time to time. Remember, Book tells sources.
Mm-hmm.
He told the sources. Okay, we'll be back next week. See ya.
Goodbye.